looking into God's Word. I have been blessed by being here this morning, been challenged, and I trust that we will continue to be challenged and encouraged in our walk with the Lord. Glad for the presence of each of you. Invite you to keep praying for the service. Pray for the message here that it would be as God desires it to be. This morning, I like to share a message on a subject that is, I'm going to say, familiar to us. It's familiar in the sense that we know about it. We know it's there. I'm sure we think about it. I'm sure we utilize it in a measure. But while this subject may be quite familiar to us, I actually wonder how much we really do know about it. How much we really know about it. It's a subject that I have been convicted in my life, and I've been pondering it and thinking about it a lot, and definitely the Lord has spoken to me in my need of this. I've preached on it a couple of times, various aspects of it. The last time, probably around 4 years ago, I discovered in my notes, but little bit of a different thrust here this morning that I'm thinking about. But it is the subject of prayer. I find in my life that somehow or another, I continually need to be reminded, think about the importance of prayer. And I'm sure that we would all agree with that. Like I said, lately I've just been convicted that I've not been doing nearly enough of praying. Various things have maybe brought that on. Think of the busyness of life and all that brings, and the responsibilities in life and everything, and also just some struggles that I've had in my life. As I've pondered those things and sought the Lord's direction, and my mind has gone to this of the need of spending more time in prayer. You know, Brian read here in Luke and mentioned the thing of Jesus spending all night in prayer and asked the question, or I'm not sure how he presented it there, but for us, yeah, have we done that? Have we spent all night in prayer? Well, I haven't. Maybe some of you have. Yeah, I've been part of prayer, what they call it, prayer chains sometimes, where you spend an hour during the night praying and spent a focused time in prayer, but I've never spent all night in prayer. And I guess I wonder. Maybe if I would do that, maybe if we would see the value of prayer more and do that kind of thing, where would we be at today? I don't know. How would that affect my life? You know, Jesus was the Son of God. We know that. But evidently, there was a need there of communing with the Father, of spending all night in prayer. The title I give the message this morning is The Resource of Prayer. And that's kind of the angle that I'd like to think on this. The Resource of Prayer. And you can turn with me to the book of Jude. But this morning I want to talk about a resource that I don't think has been explored or discovered very well. I think I'm safe in saying that. I know that, you know, at least I would say that as much as maybe what it could be. And I understand there's probably a bit of assumption on my part in saying that, but I do believe that this resource has been largely untapped in the Christian life. I'm told that this resource is limitless. We know that. There's no limit to it, and it's available to all of us. It's not just limited to me and to you, to an exclusive group, to our congregation, to an exclusive people, but it's available to all humans who walk this earth, whoever has walked this earth and whoever will. Without this resource, there's death. We will die. It's as plain as that. We must tap into this resource or we die. That is how serious it really is. Many people do not realize the value of this resource. Only a few men and women over history have been deeply immersed into this resource. A lot of people only use it when they think it is necessary. As Christians, I wonder if we don't often approach this subject of prayer, that yes, we know that it is important. In fact, if I would ask you to talk about prayer, or if I would ask you to raise your hand if prayer was important to you in your Christian life, you would do that. I'm sure you would, giving recognition that it is important. But again, I wonder sometimes, maybe I'm just speaking for myself, but I wonder sometimes if we really understand how important it is. Those are just some things that, as I've pondered this, that I've been thinking about. I find myself failing all too often into a deliberate life of prayer. It's easy to pray short prayers. It's easy to pray at mealtimes. It's easy to pray prayers when we are desperately in need of something. I do that. I'll admit, weekends that I am on to share the message. For whatever reason, as I've thought about that, I am quite certain that I pray more that weekend than I do other weekends. I don't know. Maybe that's not all bad. But yet, yeah, why are there just certain times that we pray? And I guess what I'm thinking about is this life of prayer. Do we live a life of prayer? What happens on a daily basis in your life and my life? Do you find yourself wanting to wrestle or to cry out or to praise, to spend time speaking to God? Is that where you find yourself? Talking to God, your Father, on a daily basis for a long period of time? Do you desire? Do I desire to do that? Aaron read the verse this morning in Hebrews 4. Verse 16, I believe it was, "Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that you may obtain mercy." And is that where we find ourselves? Coming boldly, availing ourselves to this resource and allowing it to impact my life. Well, so much for that. This morning I have two questions to present to you before we read our passages. The first one is the question, would you consider yourself to be a person who is devoted to prayer? In other words, what I'm asking is, would those around you, your family, your wife, your husband, those around you, would they say that you have a life of prayer? There are some people that I think of that when I think of them, I think pretty quickly down the line of that person does a lot of praying. I don't know exactly how I've come to find that out. Some of those people are people that are close to us. We know other people are individuals that I don't know real well. Yeah, I know of them, but I have found out through talking to them, whatever, that individual spends a lot of time in prayer. And Is that, I've been challenged by that as I thought about that, is that what I am known for? Probably not. Should we be known for that? Would your family, would those around you say that you live a life immersed in prayer? You know, immediately our humanity kicks in and says, well, I can't always be praying. Well, that's not what I'm asking. I'm asking, how long do you spend time praying? Would you consider yourself a person who is devoted to prayer? The second question I would ask is, would you say that our congregation, Pine Grove, or if you're here and a part of another congregation, you can put that name in there, is devoted to prayer? Could you say that? I'm not sure what to say about that. as I ponder that, yes, I know we pray. I know that we spend time in prayer, and I'm not here critical or anything of anybody by any means, but I just wonder again. I'm probably thinking more of my own heart, exposing my own heart here. Are we a people that pray? Are we prone to say, stop, why don't we pray about that situation? We have a difficulty. Maybe we're sitting back here in men's meeting and we're talking about that. Have I ever said, wait, let's spend time praying about this? Maybe we should. Maybe we should do more of that. I haven't done that very often, if ever. Do we gravitate towards prayer? I'm asking myself, first of all, to take a deeper look at who I am as a Christian man or a Christian, well, each of us, a Christian man or a Christian lady. Let's look at ourselves individually. Maybe you're here this morning and prayer has become a chore for you. It's a duty that you do. You have it each day. You pray your prayer. It's your duty, but it's just that. And there's not a lot of relationship in your prayer. Maybe it boils down to a quick, please help me today, and a few other things, and off we go to work. I know that temptation. That is real. That's real for me. Maybe you're here this morning and prayer has become dull because you're discouraged. Maybe you have experienced some disappointments in your life. You still pray, but it's difficult. Maybe you've given up prayer altogether. Maybe you just don't pray at all and you silently inside say, well, there's no use in praying. What's the use? It doesn't matter. Nothing changes. You have become despondent and lack in prayer. Then again, maybe you're here this morning, and I trust that, I hope that this is where we find ourselves. But you're here this morning and you have a vibrant prayer life. You're excited about your relationship with God. You are in tune and you are that person that persists in prayer, and it's easy to go into prayer. I want to be that kind of person. And hopefully as we read some passages and go through this, we will get a better picture of the importance of a life of prayer. I'm not calling it a prayer life. Maybe I'm just thinking here on a play of words, but I'm not calling it a prayer life. I believe there is a difference between a prayer life or a life of prayer. You think about that. So that's my burden and focus this morning. But if you look here in the book of Jude, let's read verses 17 to 21. Jude, verses 17 to 21. But beloved, remember ye the words which were spoken before of the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ, how that they told you, there should be mockers in the last times, who should walk after their own ungodly lusts. These be they who separate themselves, sensual, having not the Spirit, but ye. Now this is the verse that you can highlight and underline if you care to. This is my point out of this message. Beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost, keeping yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. Doing a little background here with Jude. If you go back to the first part of the book of Jude, you find similar words. Verse 3, beloved, When I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that you should earnestly contend for the faith. And then you go right to the end of the chapter, and he virtually says the same thing. Verse 20, but ye beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. What Jude is doing here, he starts out, I started out writing this letter to encourage you in our Christian faith, our common salvation. Then he says, but I felt like I needed to say something to you about the fact that our faith is being attacked by false teachers. And there are all sorts of falsehoods out there. And because of that, we need to earnestly contend. We need to contend for this faith. That is what he's saying. And then he ends his letter with saying, this is how you contend to the faith, or contend for the faith, simply by praying. There is a direct connection here between your life of faith and your life of prayer. It's together. There's a direct connection here. Turn now to Luke chapter 18. Luke chapter 18. Verse 1, and he spake a parable unto them to this end. This is why he said the parable, that men ought always to pray and not to faint. Saying, there was in a city a judge which feared not God, neither regarded man. And there was a widow in that city, and she came unto him, saying, avenge me of mine adversary. And he would not for a while, but afterward he said within himself, though I fear not God, nor regard man, yet because this widow troubleth me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she weary me. Now, listen to what Jesus says. And the Lord said, Jesus said here, hear what the unjust judge saith. And shall not God, using my own words here, Jesus turns to the people and says, did you just hear what I said about this judge? He doesn't care about anybody. He doesn't care about God. That widow was nothing to him. She was a poor widow, and all he was about was his own gain, his own popularity. He really didn't care less. But because she persisted in coming to him, he wearied of her and said, okay, I'll take care of it. Leave me alone. I will take care of it. Jesus turned to the crowd, or whoever he was talking to, and he said this, hear what the unjust judge saith, and shall not God, he turns it, and it becomes a spiritual thing, shall not God avenge his own elect, which cry day and night unto him, though he bear long with them? I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. And then he says something, nevertheless, Even though God will be merciful and just God to you and to me as children, it says he will avenge you. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, when I come back, shall he find faith on the earth? Why would he say that? The widow here persisted perhaps in a humanistic kind of way. She had faith that at some point, this judge would hear her. She had faith in that. There is a direct connection between faith and prayer. Jesus said, men ought always to pray and not faint. And then he asked the question, when I come back, will there be faith? Will there be faith found on earth? The connection, I believe, is that a life of prayer is the language of faith. I can stand up here and say that I have faith, and I feel like I do, but how much? If my prayer life is inadequate or meager at most, it is like having no oxygen. It's like not being able to breathe. I can't breathe. You know, I wonder sometimes how blue I look as a Christian. No oxygen. How blue and oxygen starved do I look to God? gasping spiritually for breath. My faith is weak. I don't believe. I find it hard to pray. Well, what about you? What about us this morning? We breathe out prayer as we breathe out. We breathe out prayer as we breathe out our prayers. God breathes, as we do that, as God breathes back into us His graces and His mercies, His power to live this Christian life that we say that we have. Jude connects it. Jesus connects it. Prayer and faith. Ephesians 6, verse 18 says this, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. There we have nearly the same words that Jude used. Pray in the Spirit. Contend for your faith. You can't have faith and not a prayer life. It is your breath of life. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. This passage here in Ephesians comes right on the heels of where it talks about the armor of God. Prayer is the means by which we get the power to live our life of faith, and the means by which not only we get the power to live our life of faith, but it's the means by which we then remain faithful. That's why it is so necessary. Prayer is the exercise and the language of faith. Luke chapter 21. Over a few chapters, Luke 21, verse 34 says this, and take heed to yourselves, lest at any time your hearts be overcharged with surfeiting and drunkenness and cares of this life, and so that day come upon you unawares. Reading on 35 and 36, yet, for as a snare shall it come on all them that dwell on the face of the whole earth. Then he says this, watch ye therefore, and pray always, that ye may be accounted worthy to escape all these things that shall come to pass, and to stand before the Son of Man. Very similar words to what Jesus said when he asked, when I come back, where will there be faith? Will there be faith? This morning, we must pray so that there will be faith when Jesus returns. The writer here in Luke also says that we need to always pray that you may be counted worthy to escape all these things that shall come to pass and to stand before the Son of Man. So this morning, I would just say to all of us, when we allow ourselves to slide into prayerlessness, when my life becomes a prayerless life, I am restricting my faith. That's how simple, how clear it is. I am restricting that spiritual oxygen, that supernatural power. The grace of God wants to pour into my life to live my life of faith. And it's stunted when that oxygen is cut off of me because of not praying. So let's breathe this morning. Don't forget to breathe. Breathe deeply, long and hard, your life of prayer. I've wondered already what kind of power God would unleash in my life and your life if we would spend several hours, maybe a night, at prayer. We have probably all heard examples of saints. Again, I talked a little bit about this already, where we know of individuals, but we have heard examples of saints who spent hours in prayer before they ever started the day. And I personally haven't done that. I've never spent 4 hours a day in prayer, I don't believe. I possibly have spent, you know, half an hour or maybe even an hour, but never 4 or 5 or 6 hours in prayer, wrestling with God, coming to the throne of grace. And I just wonder what would happen in my life, or our families' lives. I wonder what would happen here at Pine Grove if we would catch that kind of a vision for a life of prayer. Do we pray like that today? I admit and understand that it's not just prayer that affects the way maybe our families turn out or, yeah, whatever, but I believe that prayer does make a difference. Fathers, I believe that we need to be on our knees fighting the battle for our children. lifting them to the throne of grace. Mothers, you need to do the same thing. Pray for your children. Intercede on their behalf. Pray for your husbands. Pray that we can lead and that we would do it well. We would mind the Holy Spirit. We need to have people who embrace a life of prayer. I believe we would see dramatic changes on a personal level and on a family level and on a church level, perhaps even on a community level. But it's hard work. I believe we recognize that. You know, we can come up with all kinds of excuses for those, you know, who have businesses. Well, my employees are out working. I got up a little late, so I can't spend time in prayer. I know what it's like. The temptation is there to cut it short. Prayer is the breath of life. Your faith depends on it. There's a second way to look at this thing, and this is a sobering way to look at it. It's basically saying the same thing, but maybe from a different angle. Maybe it's the other side of the coin, and for me, it's pretty sobering when I realize this, but again, we've mentioned an angle of this, but we mentioned this a bit already, but a prayerless life is an indication of a lack of faith. It is an indication of a lack of faith. This morning, if you find yourself not praying much regularly, then is it fair to say that you really don't have a lot of faith? I believe it probably is, because prayer takes faith. You have to believe that God is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him, is what it says there. Again, I can stand here, you can sit there and intellectually say that I believe, but unless my actions through prayer prove me correct, there is no faith. Without prayer, there is no faith. You cannot disconnect them. They're together, they're connected. Hebrews 11, verse 6, again, but without faith it is impossible to please God. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. This morning, what breaks down your faith? I've had to ponder that. What are the things that cause you to lose focus in prayer life? What are the fears? What are the sinful habits? What causes the doubting? It could be numerous things. Is it unresolved anger? Is it hurt? Am I hanging on to some vicious thing? So I think we do well to take inventory. Well, how do we persevere in prayer? So I've mentioned a lot about the need of prayer. When it comes right down to it, how do we do it? How do we persevere in prayer? The need for a purposeful life of prayer is ever more needed. Why is that? Here's why. You and I live in an age of much noise. We know that. There is a constant clamoring for our attention. We either talking on the phone or working on the computer or texting or doing any number of things, listening to that and doing this and doing that, and we're not praying. We need to purpose to pray. I believe that is very important, that we need to purpose in our minds that I am going to pray. I am going to purpose to reject the things that are draining my life. Ponder that. You know what those are for you. I know what those are for me. Maybe at times I need help in seeing that. I don't know. That could very well be the case. But largely, I believe we know what it is, the things that take a drain on our life of faith, things that keep us from praying. And it takes purpose. It takes purpose to overcome that. God has put prayer in place so that we can receive from Him that supernatural help that we need to live this life that we say we have in Him. So how can we focus? There are three things that I would like to present to you. Three things on how we can focus better on our life of prayer. I present for your consideration. Number one, consider meditating more on God's Word. And that sounds pretty basic, and it probably is. But consider meditating more on God's Word. Do that. What do I mean by that? Take time to reflect on God's Word. allow God's word to speak to you, to speak to the needs of your heart. One thing that I found very helpful when I'm reading his word is to ask God what he wants me to get out of this passage that I'm reading and reflect on that. What is in this for me? What do you want me to hear from this? And I believe that God will be faithful. God, I believe that that allows God to speak to us through his Holy Spirit, and it makes us more ready to receive it. John chapter 15, verse 7. Says this, if ye abide in me and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. I'm not sure everything that it's implying there, but it's pretty clear. How do we abide in him? How do we abide in God? And what's clear here, what it clearly says, is that it's by his word. We have his word. That is how we learn how to abide in him. So let's meditate on God's word. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God is what I believe it says. Where is it? In Romans, I think. And so the key is to believe that the Bible is written for me, and I will meditate on it. The second thing that I believe will help us focus on this life of prayer, and is needful for us to be men and women for Christ, is simply to persevere in prayer. That's what it takes. Persevere in prayer. When we persevere in prayer, then I believe it helps us to see us as we should. As you determine to do that, as you determine to persist in prayer, when you do that intentionally, then you begin to see yourself as God sees you. And that is so important. I believe we should ask God to help us see ourselves as he sees us. It helps us see that we are indeed sons and daughters of God. God does love me. When we intentionally focus on prayer, we begin to see those things as we should. C.S. Lewis says this, if you are a proud person, you will never be able to see God, because a proud person looking down on everyone cannot see something that is above him, something that is bigger than himself. And from that image, I get that it is in God's image that I learn humility. I really don't know how sinful I am unless I am in the presence of a holy God. You come into the presence of a holy God through prayer. And I thought that very real. You come into the presence of a holy God through prayer. And it takes being in the presence of God to see how I really am. That's what it does. As we intentionally pray and continually pray, spend quality time praying, we begin to see ourselves as God sees us. The third thing on how we can focus better on prayer is when I am praying, I need to remember that I am praying to my Heavenly Father. It's not just some entity out there. He is my Heavenly Father. He is the one who created me. He is the one who wants to pour his grace and his mercy and his power into my life so that I can be effective for his kingdom and for his honor and glory. He is my Father. I need to know that when I come to him in prayer. When that happens, there is something that happens within us, within me. When our hearts are united and bonded in prayer to our Father, we begin to experience relationship with him like never before. He knows all things. He wants to give us all things. Jesus himself says, if these earthly fathers know how to give their children, how much more will my heavenly Father give to you? He is our Father, and he wants to have that relationship with us. He is a good Father. He knows how to give generously above all that we ever ask or think. Well, my closing comments are this. For you and I, for us here at Pine Grove, pray. Pray alone. Pray alone in your closet. Weep before the Lord. Cry out to Him. Praise Him. Beg Him. I don't think there's anything wrong with that. Go to the mercy seat. Pray together. Come to church and pray together. Intercede for each other. Learn to love through your praying for each other. I believe we need more of that. Praying for each other. Pray for the brother or sister who maybe you have difficult time relating to. Pray for them. Pray that God would show you what He wants you to do with the rest of your life. Pray. What all would God bring about in your personal life, in your family's life, in your friend's life, in your youth group, in the church, in the community, in our relationships, if we would be more men and women that have a vibrant, full, and overflowing life of prayer. Don't forget to breathe. Prayer is the breath of life for your life of faith. I just want to encourage all of us, for the sake of the bride of Christ, for the sake of the brethren and sisters sitting beside you, pray, develop a passion, a compassion for each other, a heart of prayer. And as we do that, it's going to do wonders. It's going to do wonders in my heart. It's going to do wonders in how I think. It's going to do wonders in how I feel about my brethren. Let's kneel for prayer.